Hey, everybody, we are back. I know it's been a week or two, but we are refreshed and ready to go. Happy to be back with a great episode and happy to be working with some of these awesome sponsors. One of them happens to be Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Manskirt Brewing is an awesome brewery located on Main Street there. They always have seasonally inspired ales, rotating tap handles, different events going on at the brewery. It's a really cool place to go grab a craft beer, hang out, listen to some music. They got Baltic Porter in 750 milliliter bottles, and then we're going to be hosting a town-wide event on Saturday at Haley's Harp and Pub, the first annual New Jersey Craft Beer Garden, starting at 2 o'clock. That is Manskirt Brewing. Now, we're also sponsored by Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F, Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free. It's only a dream if you are not pursuing it. Just a great new apparel company. Lots of different designs coming out weekly, up and coming. All right, let's see. They now have leggings for females with varsity lettering, sports tank tops for ladies. They also added camouflage hats and t-shirts, different designs. They have Rolls Royce edition and the Coca-Cola edition. Basically, they're out there just really growing the brand, building the business. There is shirts for everything, so go DM them on Instagram. Follow them at Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free. Now, Trivia Revolution is a trivia company based out of New Jersey. Trivia Revolution does trivia in all different beer bars and breweries throughout the state. So come on out and play. You can be in last place, win a prize. You could win prizes to that restaurant or to a brewery. So it's just a good time out. Check them out at Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right. One of our favorite guests returned to the show today, and that is Red Bull Air Race pilot Kirby Chambliss. It's been about 2 years since we interviewed him last. Just an awesome guy in a sport that is big all over the world and growing in the United States, and one of our favorite people to talk to. So with that, guys, enjoy Kirby Chambliss and enjoy the podcast.
Those car shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Everybody, welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. I am so excited to be back. Are you excited, Mike Berlew?
Yeah.
Episode 203.
Yeah.
But anyway, buddy, welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. This is a show where, if you're just tuning in, I am Scott Brennan, and that is Mike Berlew there on the other line down in the Georgia. We are a show that simply, well, we try to have a good time amongst us and just talk about life and play stupid games and whatnot, but we also generally every week for quite a while now, we bring on a guest or two, some well-known, some you've never heard of before, but in simply just try to find people who are passionate about different things, and this week is no different. So that is kind of the summary of the show. I was told we should do that, Mike. I was told we should tell new audiences what the show is about.
Okay, kind of like a morning zoo radio show kind of deal, or afternoon shift or whatever. I hear you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because generally when I'm thinking about what I want to do with the show, morning zoo's the first.
Oh, yeah.
My first influence.
It's the wacky phone call.
Bzoing. Bow. Poof. But in order to do that, we would definitely need some, like, one female host that just kind of, like, laughs at everything we say and be like, you guys are crazy.
Yeah. Oh, you guys.
Oh,
don't go there.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Rough. You guys are wrong. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I'm refreshed. I'm back. I it's our first podcast in 2 weeks. We did a little Memorial Day break.
Yep.
You know, last minute we kind of said, let's just wait till next week, and we kind of couldn't connect, so we're back. I did a little weekend up in the Adirondacks, get away for a little bit, couple breweries,
nice.
Rented a boat out on the water, and it was a good good getaway. It's been a hectic month with moving and work, and the fiance's new job has been nuts, so it was a good 2-day getaway, and I'm refreshed and ready to go, buddy.
Yeah, I'm preparing to get drained in a couple weeks with the move and the girl getting her new job. And I
for a second there, I wasn't quite sure what I'm ready to get drained meant.
I was sure. But, before we connected, I think I was on call for an hour and 45 minutes setting up my insurance for the new place. And it was just mind-boggling. Every question on earth about it. Has a house got a lake? No, it doesn't have a lake. Does the house...
Dude, that's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome that you were able to have that lake and not tell them about it, though.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I dug it myself. I mean, I think it was the old sewage system, but it's still water, and I'm going to plan to dive into it. So that's all that matters to me.
That's fine.
It's a real
Georgian thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's like one Georgian thing you've seen down there that you've laughed at, like a redneck kind of thing? There's got to be something.
Well, I will tell you on I think it was Saturday night. I went with my brother he sells at an auction in, I forget the city, but simply put, if you want any civilization, you have to go 45 minutes from that place. But once you're in there, it's your cell doesn't work. They don't even have McDonald's within 20 minutes. There's absolutely nothing but grass and cattle, and they sell in a barn with no air conditioning in the nighttime of Georgia. So
what is the ratio of cows to teeth? What is it?
Cows to teeth? Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, when we got there, I mean, Izzy was going, oh, look, there's a lamb. I'm like, don't get attached to that little thing right there, babe. He won't be here next week. Can guarantee that. And I'm not talking about finding a nice little home. You know, so, it's basically the Katra story where you just be like, oh, no, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Yeah. To take the meat.
So what kinds of things are they selling? Anything and everything?
Let's see. My brother, he sells a lot of food stuff and a lot of small things like plastic bags, straw, stuff like that. Stuff where you can get it dirt cheap, sell it for a couple dollars. Everybody buys a bunch of it, and then it adds up. But I know that there was the other seller. He was selling bass boats, kayaks, fishing reels. The entertaining moment of the night was a Confederate flag blanket went for $8.
Oh, it'll keep you warm and racist at the same time.
Yes.
So you spend $8.
Pride if you just put up a flag. You have to be nestled up into it.
So what's it like sleeping with that blanket?
I'm a little closer to the big boys. You know, I feel...
Every time you get into bed, you're like, yeehaw, time for sleep. Is it like Trump land down there?
No. I mean,
really?
You have your native Georgians and you have what ended up with it's kind of like Jersey. Like people are like, oh, Jersey people are so mean. Well, you have your quote-unquote Jersey people, And then, like, the 60 to 70% that moved into New Jersey because they have a job in New York and Pennsylvania and stuff like that. It's the same thing. I would probably say it took me a while to even introduce myself to somebody of native Georgia down here. It was, wow. Yeah, I'm from Missouri. I'm from Tennessee.
A lot of transplants.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when my dad came here, it was, like, mostly native Georgians and... You know, it was the whole mentality. Oh, we hate you Northerns coming down, taking jobs, blah, blah, blah. But city of Atlanta, it's growing to be what they hope to be the biggest city in the United States. So there's just a ton of diversity down here. And, I mean, there's a lot of pleasant people. And I mean, even, like, Southern people, I've had no issues with. I chat away with them. There hasn't been one thing where they turned around and did the quote unquote Southern hospitality item. But I like it down here. I'm gonna have a nice big house soon. Knock on wood, and we'll just kind of grow from there.
Nice. See, I was thinking it would be like pretty big Trump territory down there, but I guess not.
I think he won the state pretty decently. I mean, if you say a presidential election's coming, it's pretty much going to turn red. But I mean, I don't have the, as we call it, the thumpers, if you will, where it's like blatant. I see more from people up in New Jersey than down here.
Nice. Well, Kanye West came out with his new album. Are you excited?
I'm excited that apparently he had another album.
Yes.
I did not keep track of that. I probably can't name one Kanye song, to be honest.
Well, you know, he's a big Trump supporter suddenly, which is, been in the news a lot lately, that he, which I definitely think he's doing it to get headlines, stay relevant, He put a bunch of stupid songs out where he's, like, making noises and just, going off the deep end kind of stuff. But I think it's all purposely done to just keep people saying Kanye West. But I wanted to play a quick game with you before we get to our guest here.
Okay.
So I want you to tell me who tweeted it, Kanye West or Donald Trump?
Okay. Sounds interesting.
All right. Who tweeted this? I have never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke.
I think I remember that was Trump.
That was your president, Mr. Trump.
Yep.
So one for one, Mike. Also, for anyone that has money, they know the first rule is to use other people's money.
I'm going to say Trump again.
That was Kanye West. That was Kanye. Mm-hmm. Kanye.
I was on the fence on that one, but I thought I remember that from Trump. I did. Okay.
What about, we want to innovate and we will win someday?
I'm going to say Kanye.
That was Kanye. Yeezy. That was right. Yeezy. All right. Sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel so stupid or insecure. It's not your fault.
I'm going to say Kanye again.
Mike's going Kanye. That was your president, Mike, Donald Trump. Can you imagine?
I never win.
Can you imagine this came from the leader of the free world? Sorry, losers and haters.
Can you imagine if we were in school and they said, and that's what Jimmy Carter said?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be looking like, what?
Sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel so stupid or insecure. It's not your fault. That is our leader, the Donald. The doors may be heavier, but I promise you, we will break them.
Kanye.
Give me Kanye. That is correct. That is Kanye.
All right.
My Twitter has become so powerful that I can actually make enemies tell the truth. My Twitter has become so powerful, Mike, that he can make enemies tell the truth.
That has to be Trump. It has to be.
That is Trumples. That is Trump.
All right.
All right. Yes, I am personally rich, and I can buy furs and houses for my family. Yes, I am personally rich. I could buy furs and houses for my family.
Trump doesn't seem like a fur guy, so I'm going to go Kanye.
That was Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
All right. President Obama.
I got to say, I'm not a Trump thumper, but if he just walked out of the White House in a big fur coat, I might just go, you converted me.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
I mean, some of his tweets are hilarious.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. If people didn't hate him, they would love him beyond a shadow of doubt. I mean, hell, that's what we did for most of the 90s, early 2000s. So.
Yeah, like if he wasn't the president, his tweets would be hilarious. So President Obama closed down the flights from Ebola-infected areas right now before it's too late. What the hell is wrong with you?
The obvious answer would be Trump, but that seems like a trick. I got a two-stroke lead here. I'm gonna try for Kanye. I'm gonna go Kanye.
And that was Trump. That was Trump. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember the quote, but I was like, I could totally see Kanye going nuts on that.
All right, a couple more. I have no interest in working with anyone who is too important or too good or too traditional to take a call at 3 a.m. I have no interest in working with... Okay, Kanye. That was Kanye.
Yep.
All right, I got...
I think I remember that.
We'll do two more. All right. This one, at Katy Perry. So he said, Katie, what the hell were you thinking when you married loser Russell Brand? This is a guy who's got nothing going.
That was Trump.
The loser gives it away. giving him a nickname. All right. I'll just skip down to this one. My number one enemy has been my ego. There's only one throne, and that's God's.
The God part makes it Kanye.
That was Kanye. That was Kanye. Yeah, yeah. So, there's like five or six more, which is kind of crazy that there's that many tweets confused amongst each other. But that was a good job, Mike. Good job.
So I can figure out Kanye versus Donald Trump. If I remember from a previous episode, you couldn't figure out Martin Luther King from Donald Trump.
No. And I think we also did Trump and Frank from Always Sunny.
That would be epic. I know I'll get some wrong. I know I would get some wrong.
Didn't we do that? I feel like we might have done that.
We talked about it. I don't think we... Well, wait a minute. We might have.
I think we did.
We definitely did something with Frank quotes. I'm not 100% sure if it was Trump or not, but
I think
we're going to look back at it.
I think we also did Trump and Hitler.
You did that at the comedy trivia night.
Oh.
Not on the show.
Gotcha. Well, you can see
all the answers were Hitler.
Yeah, well, you can. yeah, that's right. I kind of forgot about that. But you can see we're very original with our bits. But anyway,
Donald Trump or Bob Saget?
I think it's time to get to our guest.
Yeah.
Our guest, one of my favorites. We've had him on the show once before. On a sport, he's part of a sport that is definitely growing in the United States. Just because I've happened to run across it a few times on TV. But he's also just a really nice guy. And I remember when we had first gotten him on, it took a while. Me and his wife were going back and forth to finally get a time to get him on. And he's always I always refer to him as one of my favorite interviews because it really was. And it was quite some time ago. We'll have to look up what episode it was ago so you could check out the first one. But that is our friend Kirby Chambliss here.
Yeah, that was a great interview. I look forward to talking to him again.
Now, Mike, I could see you in getting pretty deep into the air race game because, you know, it has some definite similarities to NASCAR, like as far as like the scoring and some of the rules and the crew and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different breed of kind of racing, and all. It's very entertaining. It's not exactly on the same scope of NASCAR.
No, it's
not like planes are out there at the same time, but I mean, definitely, I mean, not only the racing itself, but as you brought up before, like the technology with the broadcasting of it, it's very interesting to keep an eye on, and it's something that will allow you to watch it for a few hours and not to kind of put you away. And all, like, the biggest problem with NASCAR right now is there's too many boring lapses at certain races. So it's highly entertaining, the Red Bull Air Racing.
Yeah, I found it interesting. You know, I did get to watch it a little bit this year here and there, and I actually found it interesting. So definitely a good time. So let's give the one and only Kirby Chambliss, who it has had many good years in the air race circuit, and is just a genuinely good dude. Let's give Kirby Chambliss a call. All right, Kirby, first off, thanks. Welcome back to the show, man. It's been, I don't know how long it's been. I'd say probably at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years since we last spoke. So thanks for giving us a few minutes again.
Yeah, no worries. Happy to do it. How are you?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. You know.
Yeah, it takes about 2 years to miss us, so. Yeah, it's perfect timing.
Yeah, we're like a fine wine. You know, we age. The more you're away from us, the better we get. So
exactly.
But you know, we held your interview as one of our favorites. So you better live up to it the second time.
Oh man, I'm sure. I know you guys are just bullshitting me, but that's okay. I appreciate it.
So Kirby, you are in the middle of the air race season, correct?
Yes. Yeah. At first, we started off really strong, you know, with a third place finish. We tripped just a little bit on the last two races. Although we qualified second, you know, in the last two races both times. And the first time, you know, the way this thing goes, there's actually a little bit of luck that can be involved in it all. And Martin made a mistake, and he's one of the faster guys. And when he did, then it dropped him to 13th. I ended up having to go against one of the faster guys in the first round, which is not the best deal. But anyway, it you know, didn't go our way, I should say. And so not super happy with the season just yet, but we won Budapest last year and then Kazan. So, hey, we're getting ready to make our comeback here in Budapest. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I wanted to ask you about. So I've been noticing a little bit more exposure kind of here in the U.S. and I started like looking at your schedule. So it seems like there's like a kind of like an average of a race weekend per month. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, pretty much. I mean, so the first one, because it's so hot, we always start out in Abu Dhabi, and you know, it has to be really early because the temperatures and everything else. And so, you know, we have that one early, and then it's almost like we have a break. You get started, then you're like, okay, well, let's stop again, and then we get going. And then after that, I would say you're right. You know, every 3 weeks or a month or something like that. Yeah, just because of the logistics of it all, too, you know, right, changing continents and all that, too.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of wanted to get at. So between races, so say the race was a month ago, what kind of preparation is a pilot? Are you doing, like, practice runs and whatnot during that time, or is it all
A little bit. You know, our race plane is, you know, on the road. Like, it's already in Budapest and stuff. So, but, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, if you're trying to keep them all maintained, we have four of those airplanes. And so, you know, they're pretty similar. They're not exactly the same. So I continue to fly. We don't have the gates or anything to practice around those. But also, you know, I do a lot of display flying throughout the United States and even throughout the world, you know, so they're basically the air show flying. So I continue to do that. And, you know, we've still, you know, we'll know that time that you see that we're not racing, we're doing air shows or some sort of display or some sort of special project or filming project. They're going to release something that's really, really cool. Actually, tomorrow, nice. You know, everybody will see it go up. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it's
going to
be
put it this way.
Cool.
This won't be up till Friday, so you can spoil the surprise.
Okay. So, awesome. So, you for sure it doesn't go out until
swear
then.
Swear to God, Friday.
Really cool project. You know, I guess you know, the first race in Indianapolis, the very first race was a balloon race. I didn't know that. And I guess National Balloon Day is tomorrow. And so they had all these hot air balloons and they tricked my airplane out with lights and stuff, all these different LED lights. And we did it at night through the glow, you know, or early in the morning and in the evening and going around these balloons like chicanes. And
wow,
it came off really, really cool. So that's what's going to be out there. And it'll get released tomorrow. So
that's awesome.
Everybody will be able to see that. And
we'll make sure, you know, I'll tweet that out.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Now, Kirby, when you go to these different tracks, is it like a football field where they're all uniform, or is it kind of like a
That's the thing, you know. No, it's always a different track. I mean, even the same track, you know, 5 minutes later is a different track. I mean, imagine, you know, most of the races are done on the water, and you've got this gate that's on a barge, you know, and it sits up about 65 feet or so, so it acts like a big sail. And it's always trying to move it. And I mean, if you were to tell a Formula One guy or, you know, IndyCar driver or something that, hey, after you guys practice, we're going to change the track. We're going to change that over there about 10 or 20 degrees or that over there. And so, you know, that's what happens to us because, you know, they do the best they can with these barges, but, you know, they're being tied down in the wind and the tide goes up, tide goes down, river goes up, river goes down. Now all of a sudden they're a little bit loose, you know, as compared to what they were, and they change their position. And, you know, we don't go straight through the gates. You know, we're taking them at the most biggest oblique angle that we can because that's what's going to be the fastest. And so, you know, again, you know, these things are moving out there. So I always say it's kind of a living, you know, breathing track all the time.
Now, So for people who don't follow the sport, so you are currently, according to the website, you are in eighth place right now.
Thanks. You had to bring that up.
Yes.
You?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now you're going to give the fans.
Well, first, we wanted to name the first seven in front of you, but Scott wanted points.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to read each racer before you and their bio, and then we'll get to you. But
yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, this year we're going to turn around. I mean, we didn't have a really strong start last year, and there's still some races. And so when we didn't have a strong start, we were actually leading the thing about halfway through. And then, you know, we ended up finishing fourth overall, but we were in the running all the way to the last race.
So,
you know, it's not over yet. So
that's what I was going to say. You're in eighth place. So let's say, for people who are trying to learn about the sport, you go into the weekend and you have a great weekend. What does that entail? And like, what kind of points can you get from one weekend?
Exactly. You know, great weekend for me would be first. Yeah, when you accrue 15 points. And so I think 15 for, you know, first, 12 for second, 9 for third, and then it goes on down the way only down to about number 8 where you get 1 point. So, you know, you can win a couple of races. I mean, boom, boom, you know, it shoots you right up to the top. And that's what we did last year, and we started it in India. I mean, in Japan, I over G'd, you know, we were right up at the max G. I hit a little bit of turbulence that tossed us over 12, and we were kicked off the track. And so, you know, then I was like super down, and then went back and I won in, you know, Budapest, and then I won in Russia. And so that threw us back up. So that's what we're shooting for, you know. We always try to win. We don't really try to get second. We're trying to get first.
Hey, Kirby, you're dropping out a little bit. Can I just reconnect with you? Can I hang up and just give you a call back?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Maybe it's a cell thing. I thought it'd be pretty good here.
Yeah, it's like in and out. It could be on our end too. It could just be a weird connection. So let me just call you back in two seconds. All right. There now.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Oh yeah, no problem. So you essentially you were saying if you grabbed 15 points in a weekend, like so currently you had 9, so you could jump right back in this thing with one huge weekend.
With a couple. Right, exactly. Even a couple of weekends will really throw you up there. I mean, it makes, you know, the way the point system is, I mean, it really rewards you when you take first, for sure. And like I said, you know, we're always shooting for that. We're not shooting for second. So, and you know, we've got a good team. I've got a capable airplane. I mean, it's not the fastest one, but, you know, and then if I'm flying it well, I mean, we've for sure, you know, got a good shot at, you know, first place. I mean, you know, we did it last year, and I want to do it again this year.
What's the kind of relationship you had with your crew? And do you have like a regular pit crew that you had for years, or is it a big rotation of people?
we've had the same team basically entirely for the last 3 years. And, you know, a couple of people have been with me over 15 years. So, yeah, good relationship with them. And, you know, they know me and, you know, say Jason, for instance, you know, my, you know, technician. And, I mean, he knows the airplane. He's a fantastic pilot himself. And, you know, he knows how to work on it. And I always say, you know, he's, you know, as far as like the pre-flights go, you know, getting the airplane ready and all that. I mean, he's the best at it. I know 100% when I jump in the airplane, I don't have to check anything. I know everything's just where it's supposed to be. And it allows me to be able to focus on the race.
Now the sport itself, you know, you see it on TV, it looks like a huge attraction. How is it grow? How do you notice it growing throughout the world? How do you notice it growing, you know, just nationally in the United States?
You know, I mean, throughout the world, it's been big time. I mean, I think that, you know, in the United States, we're so spoiled here. I mean, we have so much going on, you know, with football, basketball. I mean, just every kind of sport, you know. So I do see it growing in the U.S., and it continues to do that. And that's what they tell me. But, you know, I just think that there's so many things that, you know, that you're competing against. But, you know, people, you don't have to be in aviation. You know, people are always like, well, you know, I don't think some people can understand it because they haven't fly an airplane. Well, I'm not a figure skater either, but, you know, I can actually enjoy that and watch somebody do it, you know, now actually not, you know, I don't think I'd be, you know, that probably wouldn't be my cup of tea, you know, but anyway, so, you know, but I can appreciate it anyway. And I think it's the same, you know, I don't think it's a race, you know, and anybody that understands, you know, speed and in racing, I mean, he's going to understand it. It's a guy that goes through there the quickest without making, you know, having any penalty points or taking down any of those, you know, gates is going to be the one that wins. So it's pretty simple.
Now, are there any kind of other like plane racing out there, kind of like we have like Formula One and NASCAR? Is there other types of plane racing? If you haven't looked at other type of racing for yourself to try out?
You know, I mean, there's the Reno Air Race, you know, which is a really cool race. It's just once a year, and but it's kind of just left turns, and it's a really big, long track. It's over a mile, you know, so the difference is, you know, or I guess the only similarities really between our race and their race is, you know, we both have pilots and we both have airplanes, and after that, it's kind of, you know, all different. So, but, you know, it's interesting, but no, I performed up there, you know, doing display flying at Reno, but I've never, you know, done that kind of race.
No, I will say last year, you were on, I think it was Fox, one of the Fox networks. And I got to actually like, I was like, yes, I get to finally like see this in its entirety and see the presentation of it. And I think the technology just with the cameras and how they show how far you're ahead or how far you're behind really, really helps the average viewer like myself, like who just tuned in, like, let's check this whole thing out. And I was like, oh, you know, Kirby's racing. Let's see what happens. So I think that really helps capture and bring in an audience that doesn't need to know everything the way they broadcast it.
Right.
But I wanted to ask you, I forget which race it was. So, you know, you probably know, but you had went through like, I don't know if it's technically called a gate, and you went, I don't know if it was up too quick or and something happened where you got like disqualified on a run. What happened with that?
You know, I don't know whether it was the biggest one, of course, was in Indy, and it was not last year, but it was the year before for me. It was a technical, and you know, you've got to have you're not allowed to exceed a certain RPM. You know,
that's what it was.
Revolution. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and so, you know, what happened to us is that when you do a standing start like that, it's the only place that we do. We've got our prop dialed in and everything, but until the oil temperature, you know, comes up basically to, you know, I wouldn't say operating, but I mean, when it gets high, as the oil gets thinner, you know, when you do oil, the viscosity comes down, and that's what's controlling the governor. And it allowed my propeller to go basically halfway around throughout that one. So it went one more half time than it should have. And for that, you know, as a technical disqualification, I wasn't aware of it at all. Huh. Actually, so you're allowed to go 29.50, and it went up to 29.54. And then the rest of the time, it was back at 28.80, which is actually a disadvantage for me. But it, anyway, so it was things like that happen. And I know that's, you know, the same in NASCAR and everybody else. If you're, you know, I mean, I don't know all the rules, but I know they have a big rule book with a lot of technical disqualifications occasionally, and we have the same.
when something like that happens, you know, I mean, what's a, are you laid back? Just, okay.
Yeah,
it happens.
No,
or are you
no,
just cursing?
I'm madder than hell, you know? No. So, yeah, you know, I like to win, you know, and, that throws us out. We'd made the round of eight, we're moving forward, and they come and tell me, guess what? You're out. And you're like, so yeah, to say that, I was just a little bit unhappy would be a gross misunderstatement, that's for sure. So, but I won't use all the choice words that I did then. So, you know, but yeah, you know, again, I'm a competitive. They tell me I'm a pretty competitive person. You know, I raced motocross as a kid and all the competitions and the world championships and aerobatics and all the different things. And I'm like, if somebody reminds me every now and then, you're pretty competitive. And I'm, you know, as far as, you know, that. So, yeah, I was not happy at all.
So what is the community like as far as among the different pilots? Are you guys close, or is it, you know, or is it kind
of? Well, a lot of these guys, you know, a lot for me, a lot of these guys, you know, I've known them forever. I mean, you know, since, you know, I, like I said, I represent the United States in world competition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they, you know, Russians and, you know, French guy, and, you know, they were all, you know, representing their country. So I've competed against them for even before the Red Bull Air Race. And, you know, some are my friends and, you know, some, you know, I'm not as friendly with, you know, but for the most part, you know, I've always felt like, hey, you can be a good guy, you know, and once I close the canopy, I mean, I'm about one thing, you know, I'm about winning. And that's, you know, what I'm out there to do. So friend, you know, enemy, whatever, none of that matters to me. I mean, people go, what are you thinking about out on the track? Are you thinking about this or that and family and this? I'm thinking about what's the fastest way to get from this gate to the next gate. That's what I'm thinking about. That's all I'm thinking about. And it's the same. I close the canopy. And again, you know, I'm about, you know, doing my job, which is to go out there and, you know, try to win.
Now, when the race is over, how long does it take for that adrenaline to get out of your system? And are you, like, after a race, can you, like, sit on a rocking chair drinking some tea? Or are you just, you got to let loose some more adrenaline or something like that, go dirt biking?
You know, yeah, I mean, I don't know about the adrenaline. I mean, it's, you know, there's things, yeah, whizzing by, and but it's something that you're used to. You know, I'm used to that. And so, more than anything else, you know, if I've done really well, then it's super easy to go, woo, yeah, oh, that was awesome, you know. But if I haven't, you know, I'm usually, you know, the one thing for me, it's hard for me to blame my team and anybody else, you know, because they're usually right on. It's just, you know, I've made a mistake or something didn't go our way or something. So, you know, that part of it takes me a little bit longer to get over. You know, I try to, I've been fortunate enough to win a lot and then also fortunate enough to lose sometimes. And, you know, the good thing about that is I think a lot of times when you don't win, you learn more about yourself. And I've also know that, you know, even if I don't do well, you know, the sun comes up the next day. So, you know, you got to get over it and, you know, get back at it and try to do it and try to win.
Now, that actually leads me to my next question was when the plane is away in the hangar and you're home on the weekends and you're a family guy and whatnot, What kinds of activities do people not know about you? What do you like to enjoy on the outside of racing?
I love to skydive. So
oh gee,
more air stuff. Wow,
big surprise. I still like to ride motorcycles. I don't seem to have enough free time, as they say. I also really enjoy. You know, I have a 13-year-old daughter that's awesome in the wind tunnels, and so you know we go to Skydive Arizona, and they've got a really cool wind tunnel there, and you can jump in. And I mean, kids as young as three can do it, but it's something that we do together. You know, it's kind of, it's basically indoor skydiving. And so you take out the dangerous part of not going, oh yeah, here comes the ground. You know, I need to pitch this canopy, pitch this laundry out to save my life. It's not like that in the wind tunnel. You know, it's just, you got 140, 150 mile an hour wind in this tunnel. And so, you know, we really enjoy that. My whole family enjoys that. And
so your wife's never like, damn it, Kirby, you couldn't pick up like ukulele or
well,
reading.
Yeah, I mean, one time, you know, I started talking about base jumping, and I did three base jumps, and she just said, it's been a really long time and gone through a lot, and it's like, let me just ask you, how many different ways do you need to try to, you know, we won't say that choice word, kill yourself? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, I get it, you know, that's what I forget, you know, the things I do, some of the things I do are kind of dangerous, but, hey, I'm an adrenaline junkie, you know, I mean, I love speed, I love racing, I love falling out of airplanes, and so, you know, that's you got to enjoy your life, right?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
So with the family around, are you going to try to get the kids into the sport? Have they expressed any interest in doing that?
No, you know, I always say, I mean, even about aerobatics and different stuff like that, you know, I've probably conservatively lost over 100 friends, you know, while I've been doing it. And so I have one daughter. I'm a little bit selfish that way. So, no, I hope she doesn't want to skydive. I hope she doesn't want to do aerobatics. I don't mind her flying, you know, but again, you know, it's, you know, I just would soon not go down that road. If she said, Dad, look, I'm going to do aerobatics and I'm going to, you know, no matter what, then I would say, okay, I'm going to be the one to teach you. But, you know, yeah, I probably wouldn't push her towards that for sure.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, that's kind of a – I had to bring that kind of down. But, you know, it's just reality, you know.
No.
Harsh, you know, so,
yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth, you know. So,
where's the future of this sport going? Where is the coverage going to change? Is the – races,
you know, that with technology, I think it even makes it more exciting. You know, they're doing what we call the dart fish, where, you know, you can see they superimpose the other airplane over the top, and
yeah,
you know,
awesome.
All the onboard cameras mm-hmm. and the stuff, and you can see, wow, that guy turned inside of that guy, and that's why he's ahead of that guy. And so I think all that stuff like that makes it more interesting, the way that they do the presentation and stuff. And, you know, for television or even live, they're doing it on the big jumbotrons and you can see it. And, you know, we had, I think in Portugal, you know, last year, you know, I had 650,000 people there. And so the crowds, I mean, I think, again, you know, it's a pretty cool way to enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, so Kirby, we were just talking about the coverage and whatnot. And now, what about technology to the people, which is awesome. Like I told you, I found that, I don't know what you just called, but the shadow of the plane or the, you know, superimposed plane.
I
thought that was, that really made it exciting because it felt more like, okay, he's not just doing his own run. You're seeing exactly what he's competing with, you know, a lifetime.
Yeah, you know, and then you got the green light, red light. And, you know, the thing is now what's exciting too is that, you know, we're being taken out by, you know, or winning, you know, by hundredths of a second, you know. And it for sure is frustrating as a pilot sometimes when you get taken out by that. But, you know, from a spectator standpoint, when you're watching, when they're that close, you don't know. You try it until the end. You're like, oh, yeah, or, oh, you know. So, you know, depending on who you're rooting for. And so I think that adds to the excitement, too.
No, but how about technology in the plane? What things are changing in for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I used to be more seat of the pants and, you know, whatever I needed to do in order to make this airplane go through that gate at the angle that I wanted to go through it and be able to pull as many G's as I want. Well, now that they have G limits, speed limits on, you know, the entry and different things. So, you know, I'm having to listen to a tone, you know, when I'm pulling G, you know, that, you know, we're allowed to go up to 11.9 without being tossed out. We go to 12, we're tossed out. So I'm listening to a G tone as I'm making these, you know, turns and stuff. And, you know, I guess, you know, that's technology there. I mean, I personally preferred it to where you just had to do what you had to do, you know, and pull as many as you want. But that kind of went away, you know, and from a safety standpoint, they had to do that for sure. But, you know, so the technology that way, I mean, I'm looking at a simulation, you know, my aeronautical engineer sends me a simulation of the track and, you know, I'm watching basically, you know, an airplane go through that track and I know what speed I'm going to already be before I ever get to that track at that gate. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time to practice. Maybe we get, you know, 9 to 12 minutes on the track and then it's time to go race. And so, you know, that helps. And yeah, all that technology stuff, you know, it makes a difference. I can see the available G, you know, and how much when I say available G, you know, that airplane's, you know, moving, you know, 200 knots indicated. That means, you know, I've got probably 15 G available that the airplane would say, yeah, I'll do that. But I know that I got to be below 12. But now I know I need to be really careful because it's pretty easy for me to bump over that 12 and then, you know, I got to get back under that 10 within 6/10 of a second. And so all of that, you know, is technology. And, you know, that helps you to be that precise.
Now, I know it's got to be insanely loud and you can't hear anything in that plane. But if you could listen to, like, one song that would, like, psych you up or one run where you just, like, nailed it and you had a song in your head, what do you think would be your go-to right there?
So right here, you know, I mean, I was thinking the interview was going really well and everything. Now you guys got to trip me up and then tie me to some song. I don't know. I mean, it's, I guess it'd be hard for me chewing gum and, you know, and walking at the same time. I don't know. I don't really want music going on in there, but it has something about going fast. So, you know, I'll let you guys figure that out.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Right. That's pretty slow. It's got to be faster than that. And for sure, I
come on, like some.
I don't want you guys singing to me while I'm flying. I mean, that's 100% sure.
What if we just talk to you? What if you like played an episode an episode of our podcast while you were flying?
Yeah. All right.
You might fall. You might fall asleep at the wheel.
For sure.
Kirby, you're falling behind. Maybe hit the gas. Yes.
Exactly. I would love to know that, whether I'm at, you know, ahead or behind. That would be helpful. You know? So if you can come up with a song that tells me that, then I'll listen to it.
I don't know. I'm thinking, like, you could rock out to, like, some AC/DC or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. That'd be cool. Definitely not Gandhi.
Yeah. Now, like, let me ask you something. With it, you know, the computer, social media, and the internet, and things like that. How is that? I mean, I'm sure that helps grow the sport, obviously, between like YouTube and viewing and whatnot. But how does it help you connect with your fans?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like you said, the social media. I mean, putting stuff out there. You know, we do that to let people know what we're doing and you know where we're headed and. You know, I think, you know, logistical, like we've done the thing where you're, you know, assembling the airplane, you know, on a time lapse camera. And because that's one of the questions that you get. And so, you know, people get to see that, you know, as they're putting the airplane together or, you know, assembling the whole, you know, track or whatever. And, yeah, I mean, technology is really cool because it allows people maybe that didn't have the opportunity to go to the race to be able to kind of see, you know, what's on the backside of it, you know, from on the other line.
Is there a rule or maybe a track that you would like to see either be brought in or occur, something that you'd be really excited to either go back to or a new place to go try out one of these races?
Yeah, I love the Quattro. That's where it was old school and they deemed it a little bit too dangerous, but I really liked it. It was the way you had the four pylons were all up on one barge. And so you would have to go through them in a knife edge, you know, with the airplane on its side and then rotate it back to the knife edge on the other side, do a 270 degree turn and then come back in through the same gate. And to me, I could do that, you know, pretty well and would a lot of times gain, you know, even as much as a half a second. And I liked it. I thought it was really exciting to watch and everything. So, yeah, I mean, if they're going to put something on the list, it'd be that. They're probably not going to bring that back, but I really did enjoy the Quattro.
Now, being around pilots your whole life, I found the five most common stereotypes that people have of pilots. Let's see if you agree. The first one they said was brave.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it depends on what kind of pilot and stuff, you know. So, you know, I think, that's in there.
Okay. Next one was handsome.
Definitely in my case. I don't know about a lot of these guys, but, you know, speaking for myself, without a doubt.
Then someone said most pilots are short.
Nope, not me.
So, how tall are you?
6'2".
Oh yeah.
I guess that's short if you're, you know, Andre the Giant.
No.
But you know, I think, you know,
Kirby is telling you he is tall and handsome.
I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tall, smart, handsome,
fast, good looking, all that good stuff. Yeah. Hey, keep going. Number four.
Number four is loves to drink beer.
Say it again. Maybe you cut out. What?
Number four said loves to drink beer.
I mean, I don't know. That's, you know, not in my case. I mean, I probably average, no kidding, maybe four or five beers a month, maybe, you know. So, Yeah. I think when, you know, you're younger, that was a difference. But now, you know, you get to where you're like, it affects you the next day. So, but no. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think. Yeah, that probably doesn't come into play.
I'm
guessing hangovers and 4Gs don't mix together too well.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when you're going to be going 230 miles an hour, a few feet above the ground, you know, whipping through these gates, I mean, again, you know, you need to be on your A game because things happen really fast. And yeah, so yeah, you won't catch me down in the bar, especially during a race.
No. And the last one someone said was clever. This was also from a site that people said who dated pilots. These were the things they said. But clever was the last one.
Well, you know, I think it's like the life of the population. Some are and some are not. But, I mean, you've got to, you know, you've got to be, yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, I've always like, I think, you know, you got to have good common sense for sure, you know. And, yeah, so maybe clever's in there. We'll throw that in there, too.
Well, put it this way. Well, what would your feeling be like if your daughter came home a couple years from now and said she's dating a pilot?
Well, if my daughter comes home a couple years from now and tells me she's dating anything, then, yeah, I'm not going to be super happy about it. I've already told a friend of mine that wanted me, when he said, you know, my kid and they've grown up together, you know, maybe he'll date Carly and all that. I said, you don't want to be the first one. I'm going to kill the first one. So maybe the second one would be a better idea. You know. So yeah,
a free plane ride. All right, yeah. This guy's cool. Yeah,
so,
can I call him dad?
You know, I don't have anything against pilots specifically. Okay, so yeah, I mean maybe down the road, but definitely not 2 years from now.
Gotcha, Kirby. I want to thank you again for coming on. It's a blast talking to you.
And you guys. Thank you. You guys are super fun, you know, and I guess I'll talk to you again in 2 more years.
Absolutely. And if people want to go check out, like, you know, so obviously you got this cool thing coming out tomorrow or when this comes out 3 days ago.
Yeah.
But if they want to go check out you or communicate with you, where should they go?
Yeah, you know, I mean, our website or, you know, our Facebook. I mean, you just type my name in, Kirby Chambliss, and, you know, you can jump on Facebook or whatever and follow us there. And all that stuff will be out on there. And then, you know, if we have a website, you know, it's teamchambliss.com, or you can always go on to, you know, redbullairrace.com too. But I'm pretty easy to find. Just type my name in and you can figure it out.
Kirby, thanks so much, man, and really good luck in the next race, and get back up to the top so we could
winner
up there.
I really, really enjoyed talking to you guys, too, and, you know, and your audience, too. You guys enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Kirby.
And
thank you. Bye-bye.
Kirby, if you have a – can you just say do a little bumper for the beginning of the episode? Just say, hey, this is Kirby Chambliss. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
I think I hung up.
Mike, you just do it.
Hi, this is Kirby Chambliss. I'm short. I'm not that good looking. My daughter is looking for a boyfriend if anybody's interested. And you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
Thanks, Kirby. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem.
Oh, man. I love that guy, man. I would. He's like another one. It's interesting. This last month has basically been like getting some of the old favorites on the show. So it's been like it's been fun to get some people back on the show. But he's he's awesome to really get insight into like a sport that is so big elsewhere, but not big here for some reason. But, you know, there's so much involved. And I could see it really catching on. I really can. Especially with race fans, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fast-paced. It's exciting to go around the world. You know, and with today's audience, it's a quick thing. So you're not... It's not like a NASCAR race where you're going to be there for 4 hours waiting for stuff to happen. And all it's pretty boom, 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 boom. So, I mean, it's a very good event to check out. And like you said, I remember you were texting me talking about, I'm checking out Kirby. And I flipped it over. I was the same thing. I was in trance by everything that was going on. It was really interesting.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I remember texting you, like, I'm going through the things. It's like, oh, Red Bull Air Race. And, like, literally within like the first 30 seconds, it was like Kirby's first run. Like I guess they do a couple runs or whatnot. And I was like, whoa, you know, like, hey, there it is. And just to see how many people and like the where it takes place is like beautiful. You know what I mean? Like the races are on these like harbor. And just the way, like I was saying to him during the interview, just the production of it and how they broadcast it really kept me interested. I think I watched it for like an hour and a half straight, 2 hours. It was, you know, I hope it does catch on. And I wish it would come like on New York, on the Hudson or something like that. It would be really cool.
Yeah, I know they got an American race. I'm not sure where it's at.
I know they got one in Indy.
That's probably where it is, the Indianapolis Speedway, probably.
Yeah. Don't they have enough races out there?
Well, they got Indy, they got two NASCAR ones, and, the plane. So, I mean, just
bastards.
Super Speedway capital of the world, man. It's not the oldest track, but it's like one of the top two or three oldest tracks.
Right. But yeah, the one and only Kirby Chambliss there. Oh, hi, Mike. We're getting used to your remix. Your once a week Mix Master Mike remix.
Yeah. Last couple of weeks have been two or three, and I was getting a big pain.
Yeah, we're just going to have to, make Kirby the co-host.
Yeah, pretty much. Why not, you know? Then I'll be your guest.
Hey, it's Kirby and Scott. Time to get to our guest. It's Mike again, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, Lord. So where were we? Oh, we were talking about nut shots.
Yeah. Out of all our guests, who do you think would be the most devastating nut shot?
Most devastating nut shot. Well, if we ever got Leo Aragoose on, it would be him because he was a punter, but he never returns our calls.
I know my pick. I'm gonna let you think this one through for a second. Who would, out of every guest, 202, this being 203.
Oh, Marcelo Balboa.
100%. We've interviewed James Krause, Alex Morono, a bunch of UFC fighters. I would still possibly take their nut shots over Marcelo Balboa, who, former U.S. soccer player, who still looks like he can seriously do some work. Would definitely blow your nuts away.
Yeah. You're like, I don't want to pay the $400 bill. All of a sudden, he just leaps in the air and bicycle hook kicks your testicles.
Yeah, yeah.
It would just be amazing.
Right off. Speaking of soccer, did you see that thing like with the Russian World Cup coming up, how there's, you know, like hooliganism in Russia? There's like two main teams in Russia. But, you know, and they've always kind of been at war, like Boston and the Yankees. But in Europe, for whatever reason, they love to fight each other. You know, it started in England, basically, hooliganism. But now it's gone so far where there's like factions where they're having organized fights in the woods, like 50 on 50, like wars in the woods. And like it's
so LARPing, but seriously, F up LARPing.
Yeah. LARPing, but not the take out the fake part, like stomping each other to death in the woods, like you know, breaking each other's faces in half in the woods over like factions of teams. And it's like a big concern with the World Cup going over there because they're worried about like obviously people coming in and them causing all sorts of riots, and like there's big riots at the games all the time. So it's crazy. ESPN just did something on it. You should definitely go check that out because it's frightening.
I mean, you really want to get into a fight. If you can somehow arrange a 50-on-50 fight, I could barely get like three people to come over for like a barbecue, and they get 100 people matched up to just have a fist fight. That's pretty amazing. I'll give the Russians credit for that.
Dude, go check it out. Those listening, you got to go check this out. Go look up like hooliganism in Russia or just hooligans in Russia, and it's frightening.
And it's like the 39th article under.
Yeah. No, but they're all like masked and like beat the shit out of each other, like in the woods, stomping their heads, and there's people filming it. It's horrendous. I don't know how they got the World Cup. Like, the United States, North America, basically, United States, Canada, and Mexico have been trying to put in for a bid together for years. How have they not gotten it? And Qatar and Russia have gotten it.
Well, I can answer your first question. The word is Trump. And it's not even, if you're a Trump lover, God bless you. But literally, other countries have been quoted as saying, we don't want to go over there with him being in charge with all the sanctions and everything. They don't want to deal with it. And then there's also some people questioning, you know, from the like the Middle East countries. All right, if we qualify, how's this going to affect us bringing our team over with all the new rules and so forth? So that's why a lot of people have been pulling for that. Now, Qatar and Russia, they just paid off somebody. Let's be frank. They just threw a bunch of money or whatever, and that's how they get it. Because every year it's like, how the hell did that country win? And
yeah,
it's going to continue to happen. As much as they say, oh, we cleaned up stuff, it's like, no, you just got a different person to pull the strings a little bit. That's all you did.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a shame. It's a shame. Like, we should get this next one, hopefully. But
yeah, I forget who we're up against. It was, I want to say it's some South American country I think we're up against, but it's the way they're talking, it sounds like other countries are going to vote for the other one, but
yeah,
who knows?
It sucks because one of my goals in life is to go to a World Cup, and mm-hmm. U.S. made that a pretty easy decision this time, and I'm not going to Qatar, so that's done.
That'd be awesome.
So now I'm looking at 8 years at least, so one of these days, guys, let's make this happen. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get mm-hmm. to go in 1994, so.
No money or couldn't get a ticket?
Honestly, I was pretty young, and my parents probably didn't really, I don't know, it just was like probably like just too young. And like my parents didn't really think I wanted to go. I don't know, but I would have loved to have gone. But I didn't, so whatever. So yeah. In 94, I was 10 years old. Yeah, so
okay.
I didn't really have any say.
Yeah. I remember when I was like young, I was like, Dad, can we go to the Stars USFL game? They're on the road. He's like, I don't know. Where are they going to play? I'm like, Birmingham. Because in your head, you're just like, that can't be that too far away, right? He gave me one of those. Yeah, we'll see.
That's awesome.
He didn't have Alabama flight money back then. So, yes. Speaking of which, hey, Pops.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Yeah. Oh, the better Berlew.
Oh, there's many better Berlews. He just happened to walk in the room at the time. So,
well, he's the better of the two, the one option I have.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. You're right. Former guest of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Two times. I'm not sure if you caught him on audio. That would make him number three and join the list.
That's true. Well, if that counts, then Obi is the all time leading.
Obi beats AJ.
Obi beats you.
Quite possibly. I mean, all joking aside, I can't remember the last episode. I didn't hear him in the background at some point.
We would have to have like enough offsite episodes to offset him, and then the couple episodes before you to really factually check that. But I don't know. What else you got going on?
Oh, so I. This is a pretty great story and all. So I want to tell you about the little game me and Izzy play where we
listen. Our listeners don't need to know about that little game you guys play. Come on, it's like a PG-13 show.
Well, this is the original kids game and all, where you sneak up from behind of somebody and yell "boo," just to scare them.
Okay. So you so you just yell boo.
Yeah, so
okay.
It started like back in my apartment, and God knows where I figured out the idea. I just said for the hell of it, I was on the couch. I heard her coming up the stairs. I'm like, I'm gonna scare her. So I hid behind the door as she opened it up, and as she passed by, I just went boo, and she went and.
Now,
it was
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Izzy okay. probably scares pretty easily.
Yes, yes. Izzy, like, jump, how dare you, and all, like, literally takes a few seconds of breathers to calm down before she laughs and, like, starts slapping you or whatever. So
right.
this was kind of our game of tag, if you will. Like, what? Then when I would go out and come in, I'd open it up and not think of any of it. She would jump out, get me, and whatever. So I was the last one to get her down here. So we have two stories report. So the time before we did the podcast, I got stuck in traffic and I was running pretty late. It was probably, I got into the door probably like 6 minutes before our
right.
supposed to be
that
ready.
Was like last time, right? Was, like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. 2 weeks ago. So I'm running in here and I go to the fridge and I'm just eating whatever my mom made. And I was like fish sticks or something, whatever. And I do a circle around the downstairs and all. I'm like, okay, it's quiet. So I thought nothing of it. I thought maybe she went out with a friend to walk or something like that. So I'm eating the sandwich and I look over and I see her crunching behind a couch, you know, and she's trying to adjust herself to try to be tiny enough so if I walked into the living room, I wouldn't see her.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting there in the kitchen, just chomping on like a fish stick sandwich, looking at her. And I call out to her and, are you okay? And she naturally reacted by crunching down almost to think, okay, if I did it really fast, I wouldn't notice I just saw her. So,
right.
And I'm just in trance and all. I'm like, I'm scomping down the second sandwich and all, just yell, are you okay? And she's like, God damn it. What? I wanted to scare you. And she's like, I thought you were in the house before and it turned out to be your brother and I scared him.
Now, this does not surprise me because I have planned a surprise party with Izzy. She probably almost blew that a few times. Haunted house, she'd be the first to point out, I see you, you know, like, and try to, like, befriend the zombies and ghouls and monsters. So this does not surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, so... So after that day, I think it was probably last Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever, I came home from work and there's a security monitor in here where you can look at the monitor and she noticed my car pulled up. So she was talking to my mom and she's like, watch this, I'm going to scare Michael. Little did she know, as I was getting out of my car, my dad was on the porch and he... And God knows why, he decided to go over, like, the dog gate we have for Callie to go through the front door instead of going through the back door. So I'm grabbing stuff out the my car, and all of a sudden I just hear a mess going, ah!
Yes.
And basically, Izzy had to apologize to my dad for, like, 2 or 3 days. Like she's like, I'm so sorry. She tried to explain it herself. He just shook his head, and he went back out to the porch.
I love that he's like kind of pissed too. I love that. Like, yeah, like this is my home. Stop scaring me.
Yeah. Two ground rules. Number one, clean up your room. Number two, always put your dishes away. Number three, don't yell boo for no good goddamn reason.
Number four, I got rid of my children a long time ago and now they're back. please don't play childhood boo games. Now, has she ever gotten you?
Well, she's got me before, but like I said, it's basically I had the one up. Like one night she got me, and I just said to hell with it, and I waited a couple seconds, and I just snuck around the room, and I got her back literally 5 minutes later. No, usually it's a couple days before.
Now, do you keep score?
Everybody's off guard. I don't think it's a score. It's just
I think you should keep score over the year.
I'd be down. I'd be down. We should put random people into this event and not tell them.
Yeah. Yeah. The first thought I did was like, you know, I could add Alex into this, but I guarantee I would win 365-0 in as far as Alex. I would get her every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one time we were up in the Adirondacks, like, I think it was last October or maybe a year and a half ago. I can't remember. But I don't know. We're like sitting, like, she like went in the shower or something, came out, and I'm like sitting on the bed or whatever. And I just decided it'd be funny to pretend I was dead, you know, like, you know.
Okay.
I guess that's a normal thing that goes through people's head. So I just like pretended.
Well, even upstate New York, but yeah, continue.
Yeah. So I just like pretend I was like dead. And I guess I did a really good job because like she like had poked me. She said, babe. And now there comes a point when your trick is working where you start to feel a little guilty. Like, mm-hmm. like she's starting to get nervous. But I really tried to like hold on and be like, how far can I take this? And she's like touching my face. And then she's like, babe. And she starts like panicking and like walking around the room like, oh my God. Like, and I heard her like go to reach for her phone. And like, then I opened my eyes. And I was like, and she was not fucking happy with me at all.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I figure in the end she goes, oh, you.
Yeah. But the plus is if anybody needs like a good dead actor, like, you know, to be a body in a scene or something like that, I'm your guy.
Yeah, we should call up CSI or SVU, see if we can hook you up, man.
It just reminds me of that episode of Always Sunny with Dee and Dennis, as they're the bodies in the M. Night Shyamalan movie, and Frank, and then he's eating the sausage out of his pocket. But yeah,
I miss that show so much right now. I can't wait till it comes back.
Yeah, me too. It's weird. I see them like posting some updates on Instagram and whatnot. Kaylin Olson looks like she had work on her face.
Yeah, it's weird. I know she burned somebody. Like, she put a picture up on Instagram, and some dude's like, "Oh, you look like 60." She's like, "Yeah, I have a kid. You know, I'm tired. I feel like 60." Lo and behold, I'm a 30-year-old who's a millionaire, so what you gonna do?
Yeah. I saw that, but like her face looks like she's got some like Botox going on or something. And then Mac looks jacked, like for real jacked, not like fake on the show jacked.
Yeah, he looks really built, and I guess Jason Kelsey of the Eagles is going to be on an upcoming episode because I forget what it was, but they set up muscular Mac and fat Mac together, and he kind of looks like Mac with the beard.
Yeah, they set up like it wasn't actually me playing fat Mac. It was, and it was like Jason Kelsey there. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to come back because I just love that. That's my going to bed show. I just like watch it and just like put an episode on and chill. Like, I record the episodes and just have them on my DVR and just play them. It's like, I've been doing that for years.
So. Yeah, and it's just one of those shows that, like, you forget an episode and, like, somebody brings it up and then it's just like, oh, yeah, and as you just, you think of every quote from it and all. I mean, like, the gang cracked a Liberty Bell. I mean, that's a little underrated one where he went in the past and...
Yeah, it's okay.
They said... I love that one, and we're going to make a declaration of dependence.
Like when he's like, who's that tranny holding the gun or whatever it is? I see two trannies shooting each other, whatever he says.
Yeah.
But anyway, Berlo, I think it's that time. It's time to wrap it up. Another good one in the book. So anything to promote?
I will promote one of our friends' podcasts. How about the Natty Bumper Cast? Natty Bumper Car, good friend of ours, a former guest. Been doing really well on the stand-up scene and all. Really nice person, all in all. You can check out his podcast at his website, nattybumpercar.com.
God, Bumper Car should pay us. He got two promos in like a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Well, I promoted Bumper Cast like, I don't know, maybe three or four episodes ago. So he should, I think he owes us.
Yeah, definitely.
And
that's how it works in comedy, right? You say you did a good job, and everybody goes, okay, here's 20 things for you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to actually go out on a bigger limb and not promote something small. I'm going to promote friends of the podcast. I'll just call them that because we had two of them on the on one episode. We had Travis Stever and Josh from Coheed and Cambria just released a new single called Dark Sentencer, and it's a badass song. So I'm just going to promote that. If you never listened to the band, they're returning to their like comic book space roots in this album, and it's coming out soon, and I cannot wait. I've been bumping the song all weekend long, and it is awesome. So I'm going to promote Dark Sentence. So with that, guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, whatever your favorite podcast app is. Good night, guys.
Together make